At daybreak, the new emperor went forth to the capital and sacrificed. Then, having ordered Marius Celsus to be brought to him, he greeted that officer, conversed with him kindly, and urged him to forget the cause of his imprisonment, rather than to remember his release. Celsus replied in a manner that was neither ignoble nor ungrateful, saying that the very charge made against him afforded proof of his character. For the charge was that he had been loyal to Galba, from whom he had received no special favours. Both speakers were admired by those who were present, and the soldiery gave their approval. In the Senate, Otho spoke at length in a kindly strain and like a popular leader. For part of the time during which he himself was to have been consul, he assigned the office to Verginius Rufus, and all those who had been designated as future consuls by Nero or Galba, he confirmed in their appointment. To the priesthoods he promoted those who were preeminent in age or reputation. Moreover, to all the men of senatorial rank who had been exiled under Nero and restored under Galba, he restored whatever portions of each man's property he found to be unsold. Wherefore the citizens of highest birth and greatest influence, who before this had felt a shuddering fear that it was not a man, but some genius of retribution or avenging spirit that had suddenly fallen upon the state, became more cheerful in their hopes for a government which wore a face so smiling. But nothing so gladdened all Romans alike, and won their allegiance to the new emperor so much, as his treatment of Tigellinus. Men were not aware that Tigellinus was already punished by his very fear of that punishment which the city was demanding as a debt due to the public, and also by incurable bodily diseases. And besides, there were those unhallowed and unspeakable grovellings of his among the vilest harlots, for which his lustful nature still panted, clutching after them as his life painfully ebbed away. These were looked upon by reasonable men as extremest punishment and an equivalent of many deaths. Nevertheless, it vexed the common people that he should see the light of day after so many good men had been robbed of that light by him. Accordingly, Otho sent a messenger to fetch him from his country estate at Sinuessa. He was staying there, where vessels lay at anchor, that he might fly to more distant parts. He tried to bribe the messenger with a large sum of money to let him go, but failing in this, he made him gifts nevertheless, and begged him to wait till he had shaved. In taking the razor, he cut his own throat. And now that the emperor had given the people this most righteous gratification, he did not remember his own private grievances against any man soever, and in his desire to please the multitude did not refuse at first to be hailed in the theatres by the name of Nero, and when statues of Nero were produced in public, he did not prevent it. Moreover, Clavius Rufus tells us that diplomas such as curias are provided with were sent to Spain, in which the cognomen of Nero was added to the name of Otho. However, perceiving that the men of highest birth and greatest influence were displeased at this, Otho gave up the practice. But while he was placing his government on this basis, the paid soldiers began to make themselves troublesome by urging him not to trust influential citizens, but to be on his guard against them and restrict their power. It is uncertain whether their goodwill led them to be really apprehensive for him, or whether they used this pretext for raising disturbance and war. And so, when the emperor sent Crispinus to bring back the 17th legion from Ostia, and while that officer was still getting his baggage together at night and loading the arms upon the wagons, the boldest of the soldiers all began to cry out that Crispinus was come on no good errand. Crispinus was come on no good errand, and that the Senate was attempting to bring about a revolution, and that the transportation of the arms was an act of hostility, not of service, to the emperor. The notion prevailed with great numbers and exasperated them. Some attacked the wagons, others killed two centurions who opposed them, as well as Crispinus himself, and then the whole body putting themselves in array and exhorting one another to go to the help of the emperor, marched to Rome. Here, learning that 80 senators